sake of time, I got something pretty lengthy I'm gonna read. I know reading sometimes gets a little boring, but I told you this week of a mystery. We'd be covering mystery, and I found this article here a few weeks ago, and it's great. So please listen. Please listen to this. Rosh Hashanah, also known as Feast of Trumpets, and by many other names we shall soon see, is the fifth and seventh Jewish holy days known as the Moed, or plural for Moed. It is also the next Moed to be. Rosh Hashanah is unique because there is no explicit reason given in the Torah for its observance other than to rest and to sacrifice. It was a mystery that was only revealed in the Bible much later when Paul said, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. But the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall rise incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Rosh Hashanah is a day of rest where no ordinary labor is to be performed. It is considered to be the day of rest in the finished work of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in their lives. It is the day when all our earthly struggles are over. Rosh Hashanah marks the beginning of 10 days of intense spiritual preparation for the Day of Atonement. Jewish tradition holds that Adam and Eve were created on Rosh Hashanah, which is Tishrei. Some also believe that this day was the day which Jesus was born. Rosh Hashanah is known as the birthday of the world, since the world was created on this day, according to the Talmud. The first words of the book of Genesis, in the beginning, when changed around, reads Ali be Tishrei, or on the first of Tishrei. Therefore, Rosh Hashanah is known among the Jews as the birthday of the world. Some traditions hold that the gates of heaven are opened on Rosh Hashanah for a short time so that the righteous nation may enter. There are four new years on the Jewish calendar. Rosh Hashanah occurs on Tishrei 1 and is the new year of years. Rosh Hashanah is also the new year for sabbatical years and jubilees, also well as for sowing and harvesting crops. Rosh Hashanah came to be known as the feast where, listen to this, where no man knows the day or hour, because it commences on a new moon rather than a full moon. A new moon is when the moon is totally dark, giving no illumination. With anything less than an absolutely clear sky, it's impossible to tell when the moon is at its darkest, and it takes at least two visual sightings of the first thin crescent to confirm the new moon. Therefore, it's difficult to predict when this actually takes place. The new moon was sanctified when two witnesses saw the first sliver of the new moon and attested it before the Sanhedrin in the temple. This sanctification could happen either of the 2 days, depending on when the witnesses came to the temple. Rosh Hashanah is observed over a 2-day period of Tishrei 1 and Tishrei 2 due to the uncertainty about celebrating it on the incorrect day, or on the correct day. These 2 days were regarded as one long day.
Wow.
If you were to say to a good American, "Come over on Turkey Day and we'll watch a game together on TV," he would immediately know you were referring to Thanksgiving. Mention the day that nobody knows the day or hour to any good Jew, and he would instinctively know what day you're referring to as well. The day would be Rosh Hashanah. Jesus referred to the day that no man knows, the day or hour, 4 times during all the discourse, and the reference to his return. Since Jesus repeatedly used variations of the phrase that no man knows the day or hour in connection with his return, Many believe that the rapture will occur on Rosh Hashanah of some year. Jesus also repeated, used the analogy of a Jewish wedding of the rapture of the church. In Jewish wedding tradition, it's customary to respond to a question of when the wedding will occur with, "I do not know the day or hour, only my Father knows." This is because the bride's father sets the date of the wedding when he is satisfied that all things are ready. When the wedding day approaches, the father gives all clear and the groom comes out and a shout and a trumpet blast to claim his bride. And then the groom takes her away to their new home for 7 days of rejoicing. Rosh Hashanah is also the Jewish feast where the moon is hidden. The moon is an illusion and represents the bride of Christ. The moon does not give off any light of its own. It only reflects the light of the sun. Rosh Hashanah is the only feast where the blowing of trumpets is a central theme. Paul told us very clearly in 1 Corinthians 15, 51-52 that the rapture will occur at the last trump. In the Bible, Pentecost is the first trump, Yom Kippur is the great trump, and Rosh Hashanah is the last trump. Because the last trump is only blown on Rosh Hashanah, and because the Apostle Paul specifically mentioned that the raptures of the believers in Christ will take place at the last trump, Paul was giving us clear understanding that the rapture of the believers will happen some year on Rosh Hashanah. "Behold, I tell you, mystery, we shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. At last trump, for the trump will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed." During Rosh Hashanah, trumpets are blown for 30 days leading up to the feast, and the finish of the blowing of the last trumpet. On each of these 30 days, the shofar is blown 100 times. Three distinct sounds in 9 sets. You ever took a hearing test? They go, beep, 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 boop, 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 boop. Something like that. Three distinct sounds in sets of 9 and repeated 11 times. For a total of 99. And the last sound is a long blast and is always referred to as the last trumpet. Another name for Rosh Hashanah is the Day of the Awakening Blast. Here the word blast is referring to, I believe, the blast of the trumpet of God. "But I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." In addition to blowing the trumpets on this day, each day leading up to this day, Jewish beliefs, customs, and traditions also include shouting on Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is known as the Day of Shouting. Notice in this verse above in 1 Thessalonians, "The Lord will descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of all angels." Jewish beliefs and custom traditions are also important because the Bible tells us that the Jews are God's chosen people. Jesus was Jew, and in the Bible he told us that he was sent to the Jews first and then to the Gentiles. We also must keep in mind that the Jews do not believe that Jesus is their Messiah except for a small minority of Messianic Jews. Therefore, it is very significant to note when Judaism confirms something in Christianity, it should be considered a special confirmation. As I mentioned above, Rosh Hashanah is known by many names, and one of the traditional names is the Day of the Resurrection of the Righteous Dead. I find the idea of Jews believing in a day for the resurrection of the righteous dead is very interesting. They know that this day will come. They just do not realize that it will be the rapture of the church. Another tradition name for Rosh Hashanah is the hidden day, the day of concealment and the day of hiding, as in the hiding of a bride from the tribulation. Your dead will live, their corpses will rise. You will lie in the dust, wake, shout for joy, for your dew is the dew of the dawn. And the earth will give birth to departed spirits. Come, my people, enter into your rooms and close your doors behind you. Hide for a little while until indignation runs its course. For behold, the Lord is about to come out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. And the earth will reveal her bloodshed and will no longer cover her slain. That's for the wicked. Rosh Hashanah is sometimes referred to as the Day of Remembrance, the Day of the Opening of Books, and the Day of Judgment. All these Jewish beliefs are customary fit with the Christians' idea of yet a future rapture of the church. Lastly, there's one more aspect of Rosh Hashanah that strongly implies the rapture on a Jewish holy day. Rosh Hashanah is known among Jews as the Day of the Waiting of the Messiah, the day of the coronation and the crowning of the Messiah. Likewise, Jesus and Paul both liken the rapture of the church to a Jewish wedding. So why is it that we are now beginning to put all pieces of the puzzle together? Why are we now only beginning to understand this end time mystery? It was seen that nobody before was ever clever enough. Even the prophets who were the first to record them did not fully understand. The prophet Daniel complained about this to the angel Gabriel, who was the one who revealed them to Daniel. As for me, I heard, but I couldn't understand. So I said, Lord, what will be the outcome of these? And he says, go your way, Daniel, for these words are concealed and sealed to the end time. Many will be purged, purified, and refined, but the wicked will act wickedly, and none of the wicked will understand, but those who have insight and will understand. And Daniel's words, I believe, and the words of many others were concealed and sealed up into the end of time. And now we're in the end time. I believe that Jesus and Paul told us both indirectly and directly to look for the rapture church, the blessed hope, to occur on Rosh Hashanah of some year. Will this be the year? I dare to hope so. But I want to say this right quick. I want to let the Spirit have all the time. You know, he likened it to a Jewish wedding. Remember that Jesus' wedding he went to, you know, and it was on a Tuesday, third day. Remember we learned, John, it was on a Tuesday. And anyway, Rosh Hashanah starts here in about 15 minutes for us. But it starts sundown in Jerusalem. And they're 8 hours ahead of us, so it'd be here in about 15 minutes. But remember he said, if that 2 long days was like, or that those that 2 day event was a long day, I read something on this and I thought, man, that complex. Remember the 5 wise and 5 foolish? Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Remember they went out, all of them had oil to begin with, but what, they run out because the next night they didn't have oil. They said, we need to go buy some. So it happened the following day, the day after. It didn't happen on the first day. They was out of oil. They didn't bring enough. But the 5 did. It happened on the next day. And the Jewish, the wedding Jesus went to, where he transforms them, turned water into wine, happened on the 3rd day. This year, the end of Rosh Hashanah will be on a Tuesday. And I thought that was kind of significant. And let me say this.
This is good.
Can I read one more thing right quick?
Go ahead. Just take your time. I'm here. I'll be here next Sunday.
Now, beloved brothers and sisters, concerning the question of God's precious time and specific seasons, you have no need that I write anything to you. For you already know quite well the day of the Lord will come unexpectedly as a complete surprise. For while some are saying, finally, we have peace and security, It what happened here in the last week, the UN, you know, they had the UN meeting here in New York this past week.
Mm-hmm.
But this was written September 21st by the U.S. Secretary General Antonio Guterres, whatever his name is, the UN, United Nations Secretary. But you know, this stuff they're trying to bring in. Today, peace faces us as a new danger. The climate emergency, which threatens our security, peace and safety, our livelihoods and our lives, that is why it is the focus of this year's International Day of Peace, which was September 21st, and it's why I'm conveying a climate action summit, signed UN Secretary General Antonio, that when they're saying peace and safety, you know, I always thought that in a war sense, they'd be saying that, but they're saying it over climate. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know, that, you know, and Thessalonians, he told me, you ain't going to escape this. But if you keep on reading the book of Revelation around sixth chapter, mm-hmm. you're talking about climate change. They did climate change.
Yes.
Yeah. But I don't know what they want with that.
Exactly.
Did they declare peace and safety on the 21st?
Yeah.
Yeah.
UN did.
And can I say one more thing? Trying to get you excited, stirred up.
But if my memory's right, that's the day that Trump was talking about religion and the freedom
yeah,
of right.
It was.
He didn't go to that meeting. He didn't go to that big thing on
climate. He's the first president ever went to that meeting about freedom for religion in the world.
Come on, Mayor Sperry.
Come on.
That was good, Dave.
God, listen, your hunger
will prophesy.
So everybody, I want to, while Miss Mary's coming up, the Bible tells us to watch and pray. And pray that we become the word and all that. But next couple of days,
Amen.
He's told us to do it. Watch
and pray.
Yeah.
Let's give her David a hand.
Yeah.
That's good. Good, David. Praise God. Brought us upon. Brother David, she's trying to ask you a question. Are you trying to ask him?
Yeah, I just wanted to know. He said Moed, but I hadn't heard the plural for Moed. So if you give me that, I can scan it to
I'm going to still be teaching on Friday. Yeah. Back. Can you pray? Can you
yes, God
pray? Okay. Well, good morning. Praise God. I will still be teaching on, I'm staying in that same vein of prayer, of fire.
Fire.
We're going to still be teaching on fire because that is what the church and the body of Christ needs.
Amen.
They need the fire of God. Praise God. Go ahead and pray so I can get started. I got to hit the ground running.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless you. And we thank you, Lord, for satisfying our passion for your word and for the truth of you, Father. And we thank you, Lord,
thank
for
you,
your
Lord.
Ways being our ways, your fire being our fire.
Hallelujah.
We bless you in Jesus' name. And
we bless
to my
you.
Sister through the anointing that she has so well asked on the fire of the Holy Ghost. We bless you, God, in Jesus' name.
Hi. And let's just say amen.
Amen.
Praise God. You know, I thank you, Brother David, for that because that was well needed to inform the people about what feast is coming up.
Yes, ma'am.
Which is already upon us because it'll be this evening. And we just so thank you for that. But as we look at the church, as we look at the condition of the church, we need the fire of God.
Amen.
We need the fire back.
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
God. Let's, I'm going to start off with the 12th chapter of Luke. And the 49th verse, we're going to see what Jesus had to say about the fire. How he had some concerns about the fire. The 12th chapter of Luke and the 49th verse. If y'all can track with me today, I'm gonna need y'all to track with me today, because I gotta run really fast. I got to make every minute count. So how many would track with me today? How many gonna track? How many gonna move with me today? Praise God. I praise and I thank God for y'all. Okay, 12 and 49, have y'all got it? This is what Jesus said about the fire. This is what Jesus thinks about the fire. He said, I am come to send fire on the earth. And what will I if it be already kindled? Now what he's saying here, I wish it was already.